this. Over the last few weeks, we've been working through this book by Pete Gregg, which is sort of a guide to prayer, and I really can't recommend it highly enough. If you're a brand new Christian who's never really thought about praying before, I think you'd find it readable and accessible. But there's stuff in there to challenge you, even if you've been a Christian for decades, and even if you've been praying for many, many years. And this book explains Pete Gregg's four-step approach to praying, which is P-R-A-Y. Pause, rejoice, ask, and then yield. And today we're going to be looking at that last step, which is yield. And over the last few weeks, we've talked about the fact that prayer is relational. When we pray, we're not putting a coin in the slot and pulling the lever and waiting for the God machine to give us what we've just asked for. That's not how it works. When we pray, we are realigning ourselves with God Almighty, the one who created the world and who created us. And we're inviting him to bring our thoughts and our emotions and our desires and our intentions into line with his. Ultimately, prayer is an act of submission, of surrender. And yielding simply means giving way. In fact, those red and white triangle signs that we have in this country that say give way, that mean that we have to stop and let the other traffic go in front of us. In America, those same signs just have the word yield on them. Prayer, real prayer, takes us to the point where we put the brakes on our will and let God's will go in front of us. My old pastor in Manchester used to have a saying. In fact, he used to have lots of sayings, but one of his favourites was this. He used to say, there are two words that you can never say together. No, Lord. When you're talking to God, you either have to say yes, or you're saying that really, he's not your Lord. And yielding is giving our yes to God, no matter what it is that he tells us to do. And I want to really encourage you to read Pete Gregg's book if you haven't done so already, because what I'm going to be saying this morning is only about a quarter of what he says on this subject, so it is worth reading the rest of it. Yielding to God can only begin when our prayer life moves from being a monologue, sort of, hey God, would you do this for me? And could you heal that person? And perhaps you could provide that other thing. When it moves from that to becoming a conversation. Learning to pray means becoming a good conversationalist with God. And we all know that the best conversationalist isn't the best talker. In fact, quite often, the best conversationalist is the best listener. And so that's going to be our starting point this morning. But how does that work? How do you know when God's speaking to you? When I finished university, I signed up to join an exciting project that was going to be launching in York. A group of Christians were going to buy a warehouse, and they were going to gut it, and they were going to turn it into a Christian nightclub / music venue / youth service / Christian community that were going to base themselves around that warehouse. And I know over the years there's been a lot of that sort of thing that's happened, but this was 30 years ago, and at the time it was quite groundbreaking. And I was really, really excited about the prospect of being part of it. One of my best friends was involved, and he was a drummer, and I played guitar, and there was a bassist in the mix as well. And we were hoping to be the house band, and we were going to be the fresh new faces of Christian rock music, because, you know, Cliff was knocking on a bit back then. And so in the last few weeks of my degree, I was partly focused on exams, but my sights were really set on what was coming next. And around that time, I happened to be at a bus stop just outside my church in Manchester. I was waiting to catch a bus that was going to take me back to my halls of residence. And as I was waiting there, York really wasn't on my mind at all. I was thinking about completely other things. And as I was waiting at the bus stop, a voice in my head said, "You're going to come and work at this church next year." And I thought, well, what a strange thought, because obviously I'm not. I'm going to go to York and I'm going to be a rock star for Jesus. And I really didn't think about it anymore until that night. That night, I got a phone call from my friend in York, and he was really upset. And he told me that the whole project was being postponed indefinitely. They'd pulled the plug. And I should have been devastated, but something inside me was suddenly very, very excited. But at this stage, it was still just an idea in my mind. That the church had never had a year out program or anything of that sort. And so I phoned the senior pastor, the you can't say no Lord guy. And I said, "This probably sounds crazy, but I think that God might be telling me to come and work at the church after the summer. What do you think?" And there was a pause. And then the senior minister said, "Oh, you as well. I think maybe we should meet." And then he invited me to a breakfast meeting, which just shows that he had no idea about students at all. But it turned out that another student, a girl that I didn't know at all, had been reading her Bible, and while she was reading her Bible, had felt that God was saying to her that she should take a year after university and go and work at the church. And so that very same week, she had made the same offer to the senior minister that she would take a year out and go and work at the church. And in the end, a third person joined us, and three of us took a year out and started doing youth work and schools work and a bit of preaching and various other scary things that we'd never really envisaged ourselves doing. And it was during that year working at the church that God very clearly set my feet on the path that led to me eventually becoming a minister and doing what it is I do now. God speaks. And hearing and obeying him can change the whole course of our lives. God speaks, and every single one of us can learn to hear and to recognise his voice. In John 10:27, Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." God speaks, but choosing to listen can put us into a vulnerable place, and you may well have been hurt in the past by somebody who has misheard or misappropriated God's voice in some way. So how can we listen for God? How can we work out when it is him and when it isn't him? And how can we, with integrity and humility and common sense, hear God speak to us? I told the story that I did a moment ago because I think it illustrates a number of the most common ways that God speaks to us. Not all of the ways, because there is no exhaustive list of the ways that God speaks. God is God, and he treats us all differently, and he never acts the same way twice. He's infinitely more diverse than we would imagine. But the number of the most common ways that he speaks to us were sort of cropped up in that story that I told. And I want to look at a few of those over the next few minutes. And here's the first one. God speaks through the Bible. The Bible is our starting point. It's our ultimate authority. Any other prophecy or dream or vision or angelic visitation or spiritual hunch gets measured up against the truth of Scripture. And if it doesn't measure up, then it doesn't get airtime and it doesn't get headspace, and that's an end to it. But that doesn't mean that the Bible's just a theology textbook. In Hebrews, it says that the Word of God judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And so as we read the Bible reads us. And so engaging with the Bible isn't primarily about study. And I'm not saying that study has no value. It absolutely does. I'm just saying that it isn't the most important thing. The Bible is primarily written to be prayed through, for us to meet with God through his written word in prayerful meditation, allowing the words to flow through us and to speak to us, and encountering God through them and talking them through with him as we read them. If your Bible reading involves you reading a chunk of the Bible and putting a tick in a box and saying, yes, I think I understand that, job done, then I want to suggest that you're missing the point. When you read the Bible, slow down and let the words become God starting a conversation with you. I'm going to say something now that I want you both to hear, but also to take with a bit of a pinch of salt. And this is where I really don't enjoy preaching to a camera, because when I can look you in the eye, I sort of get a sense of whether everybody's on the same page as me or whether maybe I'm being misunderstood. And I can't hear, so I'm just going to have to say it and trust that you won't misunderstand what I'm going to say. But what I want to say is this. Stop trying to read through the Bible in a year. Stop trying to complete your Bible reading plan. Stop trying to get through your daily Bible reading notes. Stop turning reading the Bible into a task to complete. And of course, I do want you to say that with a pinch of salt, because, of course, reading through the Bible is a brilliant thing to do. And getting to know the whole book in that way is opening a gold mine. But don't turn it into a task, because that encourages you to rush into it, to swallow it without chewing, and then to tick it off as a job done. When we get to heaven, there will be no prizes at all for the person who has read the words the greatest number of times. But both then and here in this life, there will be all kinds of rewards for the people who listen and hear and act on the voice of God speaking through his written word. Before we moved to Southampton, I was out of ministry for a few years, and it was entirely by my own choice. I chose to resign, and my reasons were good. But at the time, I assumed that resigning would be almost a temporary thing. And I certainly hoped that a few months or maybe a year down the line, that a door would open and that I would be able to step back into what I loved doing. But that door seemed to get blocked for years. And it was a deeply painful and damaging time for me in some ways. And there was a period during that time when I found it incredibly hard to read the Bible. I hadn't lost my faith, but I think maybe I'd lost my patience with God and with some of his cronies. And I just found it difficult beyond belief to try and sit down and read the Bible in the way that I normally would. And so what I did was this. There's a Bible app that I have on my phone. You may have it on yours as well, called YouVersion. And one of its features is that it has a verse a day thing. And each day it pops up a single verse, usually something encouraging. I don't think they choose them randomly. And I decided that for a while, my daily reading would just be to read and reflect on that single verse that came up. Because it was all I felt I could manage at that time. And I would chew it over for a few seconds, probably literally less than a minute before work each day. Day after day, what I read and reflected on for just a few seconds came back to mind throughout the day. Day after day, it turned out to be highly relevant to what I was thinking or to what was happening around me. Day after day, through just one verse, God spoke to me and gently drew me into speaking back and resuming that conversation. God speaks through the Bible. The second way that God speaks is in prophecies and dreams and visions. That the Bible makes it very clear that the Bible is not the only way that God will speak to us. In Acts 2, Peter quotes from Joel in the Old Testament and says, "Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit." He speaks through pictures and words and intuitions and nudges from the Holy Spirit. And Astrid has a story of an occasion when that happened to her a little while ago.
In fact, it was quite a long time ago, because it was just as we were starting out in ministry, and it was just as I was starting out at Tunbridge Baptist Church, and I was a pastoral minister and trying to get to know my congregation. So I was looking through my church directory, and my eyes were caught by a particular lady that I hadn't ever spoken to. I didn't know anything of her story, and that nudge came. Give her a call. And so I phoned her and started off that phone call saying, "I don't know you, we haven't had a chance to speak yet, but just felt as I was looking through my directory I should give you a buzz." And she started to tell me that her mum was dying, a mum that she had a difficult relationship with, but a mum that she wanted to be able to spend time with. And I had the privilege of not only going to the hospital and visiting her mum and having that opportunity to pray with her mum before she died, but of course taking that Thanksgiving service. And it was made all the more real, both for me and for her, simply because I responded to that nudge and picked up the phone.
Thank you. And it was so encouraging, having already written some of what I was going to say today, to see Debbie from our church family put something on our Facebook page about a very, very similar thing that's happened to her just in the last week or so. God speaks through those prompts and pictures and dreams. Which is all good if it's a relatively minor, low-risk thing like phone that person. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? But what about if it's something bigger and riskier? Take this job, or marry that person, or move as a missionary to Burkina Faso. The problem with dreams and prophecies is that they're highly subjective. And that makes some of us quite nervous about being gullible. And perhaps even makes us sceptical about God speaking in that way at all. Interestingly, what the Bible says about dreams and visions and prophecies is that they're highly subjective and we should be careful not to be gullible. Now that's my paraphrase. What Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 is that we prophesy only in part. And in the next chapter, he tells us to weigh carefully each prophecy. But in the very same chapter, he tells us to eagerly desire the gift of prophecy. And so that's not a passive, I'm open to God speaking to me that way if he really, really wants to. What the Bible commands us to do is to actively go seeking the voice of God, eagerly desiring it, hungering to hear him that way. And so if you like, the overall picture of what the Bible says is that hearing God's voice directly in words of knowledge and prophecy and pictures and dreams is not the whole picture. It's just one part of the jigsaw of how God speaks to us. But it's an important part. And the picture isn't complete without it. But for big important decisions, it needs to be weighed against scripture and against the other ways that God might be speaking to us about the same thing. And so that brings me on to the third way that God speaks to us, and that's through the wisdom of others. In Proverbs 12, it says, "The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice." Pete Gregg in his book says that he's convinced that the main gift that God wants to give to many Christians is common sense. And that often comes through other people. Sometimes God speaks through the insight of other people. For me, hearing at that bus stop, "You're going to come and work at this church next year," that started to open a door. But sitting down with my minister over breakfast and McDonald's and talking through with him and listening as he started to put together the pieces. "So you feel like God might be telling you to come and work for us." And another student feels the same. "And we've been praying about how we can expand our outreach and perhaps work more in schools. And we've never tried this before, but I think God might be saying something here." And as he started to put the pieces together, that conversation with that wise, godly man was where it all started to coalesce into something solid. And I started to feel confident that God really was speaking. But I want to draw a distinction. There are two kinds of common sense. Or the Bible talks about wisdom, so if you're more comfortable with that term, there are two kinds of wisdom. There are some people that you might go to for advice, including some Christians, who seem to find a way of rationalizing God out of every situation and explaining away as coincidence every time that he might have spoken to you directly. And they reduce the role of God to that of a silent onlooker. And I would encourage you to be wary of being influenced by those people, because that is not a God-infused wisdom. Seek out people who are prayerful. Seek out people who actively listen for God's voice and who have a spiritual wisdom and discernment. They won't always tell you what you want to hear, but that's the whole point of talking to someone else. And God loves to speak to us through the wisdom of others. The fourth and final way that I want to talk about this morning that God speaks to us is through our own reflection. At Christmas, we always retell the story of God speaking to Mary through an angel, and then later speaking to her again through a bunch of shepherds who passed on what God had been saying to them through another angel. And there's that lovely verse in Luke where it says Mary treasured up all these things in her heart and pondered them. God's voice isn't always dramatic or immediate or loud. Sometimes God speaks as we weigh things up, as we turn them over in our minds, as we treasure them and ponder them. God's voice is often more of a whisper than a shout. And I think he loves it when we get into a prayerful pondering with him. Not an intense attempt to try and paint God into a corner of speaking right now on our terms. It's not like, right God, I need an answer, and I'm going to count to three, and then you're going to drop a picture of the decision you want me to make into my mind. So here we go. One, two, three. Come on, Holy Spirit, now. I think sometimes we're most receptive to the Holy Spirit when we're thinking about something entirely different. The Apostle Paul, who wrote a lot of the letters in the New Testament, worked as a tent maker when he wasn't preaching. And I wonder how much of the inspiration for the sermons he would preach and the letters he would write came from the Holy Spirit, not when he was sitting with a quill and a parchment in front of him saying, come on, Holy Spirit, this is going to be scripture, so it needs to be good. But whether it came instead when he was sitting with two pieces of fabric, sewing a tent together. I said a few minutes ago that I took a decision to quit from my job when I worked in my previous church, and it was a really painful decision to make, and I was struggling to hear what God was saying to me in the lead up to making that decision. And I think that's often the way. When we have an emotional investment in a decision, it can be very hard to hear what God's saying. And so I packed up a rucksack and a tent and I went off for 2 or 3 days to reflect and to just chew things over with God. And over those 2 or 3 days walking over some hills, God spoke to me in a few different ways, but none of them was a clear, definite answer to the question, should I resign? But by the end of 3 days of reflecting with God, I knew for certain that it wasn't right for me to stay on in that job. And I went home and I wrote my resignation letter. And there was no clear point at which I could say God told me to quit. There was no bolt of lightning or angelic appearance or anything like that. But as I reflected with God over a period of time, at some point his whisper got through and I knew. Some people find that keeping a journal is a really helpful way of keeping a record with your conversations with God over a period of time, and a good tool for helping them to reflect on what God's saying over a period of time. God loves to speak, but he won't be hurried, and sometimes he just waits for us to take the time to treasure and to ponder on the things he's already said before he says the next thing to us. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if your prayer life feels like a one-way street, God wants to turn that around. He wants to speak to you through the Bible. He wants to speak to you directly through his Holy Spirit. He wants to speak to you through others. And he wants to speak to you in your own times of reflection and pondering over things that you've been asking him about. He longs for prayer to become a rich and varied conversation between each one of us and the God who loves us and knows us. So let's pray together right now. Let's pray.